And I want to start by just a little kind of reflection. I have read that back in our nation's pioneer days, the days of the Conestoga wagons going across the Great Plains to settle the West, one of the challenges that they had when they got out into these wide open plains was going the right direction, because there were often they would get so confused as to which direction was which because there was nothing there. And one of the things that they did to make sure they kept heading in the right direction was at night when the stars came out, they would find the North Star. And it was always true north. And they would find the North Star, and they would take at least one of their wagons, and they would move it and point it in the direction that they wanted to go, usually west. And so they saw the North Star, and they would point the wagon tongue west. So when they got up in the morning, they could look and say, well, that's west. And they could maybe find something on the horizon to keep them going in the right direction. They needed this true point in order to keep heading the right direction. That's what Jesus is telling us today. He's telling us we need a North Star. We need something that's going to keep us heading in the right direction, that's going to constantly keep us true to the way that we should go. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to start Roman numeral 1 by talking about the Spirit's truth, the gospel reading that we just read, in that Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death, and he says this comment: when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Notice, he is the Spirit of truth. Everything about the Spirit is true. The only place he can take us is to truth. And so when the Spirit is involved in our lives, we're going to have the help we need to focus on, zero in on the truth. Now, do you know why that is so important? Of course you do, because we live in a world full of lies. We live in a world that throws all kinds of lies at us, lies we can so easily fall for and believe and build our lives on even. And so we need to have somebody lead us to the truth. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, let God be true, though everyone were a liar. Paul knew that we live in a world full of lies. And that's why he turned to God and to his truth. And where do we go to find that truth? Well, it's as Jesus said, we find it wherever the Spirit is. And the Spirit is in the Word. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. We turn to God's word for the truth. And what is the power that we find there? Look at what else Jesus said in John 8. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is a way to break free from the lies of this world. There is a way for us to break out of living and building our lives on lies. And that way is the power of God's word in our life. Well, I want to talk about that. There are many, many ways to talk about it, but I'm going to divide them into two categories. First, the lies we believe that are self-lies. These are lies we tell ourselves, and then we'll get to lies we believe that are worldly lies, lies that the world throws at us and wants us to believe. But Roman numeral 2, the lies we believe, self-lies. One of the self-lies we are tempted to believe is, I must be perfect for God to love me. Now, this is a terrible lie because it tells us that God's love for us is based on how well we do. And the power of this lie is that it can drive us away from God, because God knows, we know, we're not perfect. We know our faults. We know our failings. We know our fears. We know how weak we are. We know that. And if that stuff gets in the way of God loving me, then I am gradually going to be moving further and further away from God because I just don't see how he can love me. Oh, we are not perfect. What does the Spirit of Truth say about this? Look at what Paul said in Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that's the truth. When we were far from perfect, God loved us. It was because we were not perfect that God had to love us with the love that he brought us in Jesus Christ. That's precisely the point of Jesus, that he loved us when we weren't perfect. He loved us when we were sinners. He loved us when we were broken, lost people. And in that great love for us, he has let us be his own children. He has brought his love. It is a lie from Satan that says you can't be loved by God. Look at the kind of person you are. That's a satanic lie. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That shows the love that God has for us. The second self-lie we're tempted to believe is, letter B, I must have everyone's love and approval. I must have everyone's love and approval. While the first lie is meant to drive a wedge between us and God, the second lie is meant to draw a wedge between us and people. Because if I need everybody's love and approval, then I have a couple of options. One option is to twist and turn my life, to be something I'm not, to win somebody's approval, to use them to approve of me. Or I myself have to become judgmental and bitter and withdraw from people. You know, that's a terrible way to have to live. You're either faulting people or trying to turn yourself into somebody that they would approve of. We do not have to have everybody's love and approval. In fact, Jesus says it's sometimes precisely because we are Christians that we won't have everybody's love and approval. Look at what Jesus said. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In fact, Jesus said that we will not have everybody's. We will have more tribulation than approval in this fallen world. But we can live in this world with a victory that Jesus won. We're set free from tying ourselves into knots to be something we're not because we have God and his love and the victory that overcame the world. The third self-lie we are tempted to believe is it is easier to avoid problems than to face them. Well, for many of us, and myself included, this is one that we probably hate to admit to, but it is often the lie that we live. And the power of this lie is that it keeps us from living the full life that God has in store for us, that God wants for us. I've taken to the practice of creating a to-do list, and those things that I tend to want to avoid, I put at the top of that list. And I try to attack those things first. Now, here's the point. Some of those things I'll never resolve, but I can manage them. And I at least have the peace of mind of knowing, well, at this point in time, I've done what I can. And that's all I can do. I have done what I can, and so now I can set it aside. I can have some peace about it. I love what Proverbs 14 says, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. What that means is we don't have to carry these things around, stew about them, lay in bed at night worrying about them. We can do what we can, and then we can have the peace of mind. And when I do that, I find I have more peace of mind, more energy, and I'm not carrying these things around, sitting around talking about them, stewing about them. I have done what I can, and I have peace about it, that God is with me in this, and He is going to do the rest according to His will in His time. Well, the second category of lies we tend to believe are lies that the world throws at us, worldly lies. There are so many, but I'm just going to pick three. Letter A, you must have it all to be happy. You must have it all to be happy. This is a powerful lie. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, no, I don't have to have it all. That's not me. I don't have to have it all. Just substitute the word more for all. I don't have to have it all, but I would like to have just a little more. Just a more. Because you see, that's the tyranny of this lie, the tyranny of more, the tyranny of never being satisfied, the tyranny of always having to have a little more. I wonder how many lives are diminished by living on this lie. How many marriages, family relationships are neglected because we just so terribly important that we just get a little more. I wonder how many times we've given up on time with God because we just need a little bit more. This terrible rush to always have some more. This isn't a new problem for the human family. You think back to the Garden of Eden. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble. They just had to have it all. They had plenty. They had all they needed. But they wanted a little more. They wanted to have it all. The Apostle Paul writes about this to the early Christians in 1 Timothy. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. We should all memorize this phrase. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. He who dies with the most toys wins. And that's a lie. And it is a lie that can destroy our lives. It's a lie that can get our lives all about the wrong direction. And we need the Spirit of truth to come in and point us to the truth that life is about more than stuff. B, you are only as good as what you do. That is a lie that says you don't really have any value on your own. What have you done for me lately? That this lie says that you are only as good as what you can do. You know, in some ways, our world functions on this lie. In some ways, our economy functions on this lie, and there is a partial truth to it. We are to be contributors at work, in our families, wherever. We are to contribute. But what happens if you've contributed well at work? You've done your best. You've done a good job, and the job still dries up and goes away. What good are you then? What if you have invested your entire life in caring for your children, and now they're grown and they don't need you so much anymore? What value are you then? Are you only as good as what you do? Look at what we read in that Old Testament lesson for today. This is from Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, He who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. The Spirit of truth wants to guide us into this important truth. Yes, we are to work hard. Yes, we are to be contributors, but not to earn our value, but to reflect our value, to let the world know we are loved, precious children of God. Whether this job works or not, whatever I am doing, I am a precious, loved, honored child of my God, and that's the value I carry around in my life, and that's the truth. Well, the third worldly lie is life should be easy. There are times, I know for myself, we find ourselves pouting and withdrawn and down because we're upset that life isn't easy. Or the flip that same coin over, the same thing, life should be fair. It's just another way of saying that. Life should be fair. But you don't have to live in this world very long to know that life is not easy and life isn't fair. There are many hard times, many hard roads. And what do we do when those times, those roads, those pains come our way? If we have bought into the lie that life should be fair, life should be easy, then we're not going to have the joy and strength of the Lord in us. Look at what the Spirit of truth says through the letter of James. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Notice he didn't say, if you meet trials of various kinds. He said, when you meet trials. It is an inevitable point of life, an inevitable part of what it means to live in a sinful and fallen world. But when the Spirit of truth helps us build our lives on the truth, we can combat those hard times. We can combat those times when life is not fair. It just simply isn't, and it hurts us, and it discourages us. We can fight them with the truth that says, but my God is with me, and he is going to hold me and carry me and love me and bring me through this tough time too. And that's the truth. Which brings me to the last point. We can live and die in the truth. We are not among those who have to fall for every lie that comes along, living these twisted lives that search for this lie, build on that lie, fail with that lie. We don't have to do that. We can live in this world in truth. I love what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Day by day, we can focus on and we can live on. We can build our lives on the truth, which is honorable and excellent and worthy of praise. And we can die in the truth. As he was preparing his disciples for his death, Jesus told them he was going to prepare a place for them, and they know how to get there. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know how to get there? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth, and the life. And in that truth, Jesus was telling us that we can live in the die, and die in that truth. And that is the truth that the Spirit most wants us to know and believe. That this Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for us, who was raised from the grave to pay the price of all of our sin, to pay for and forgive us for all those times we've fallen for the lies, we've stumbled and fallen and said, "Oh Lord, I did it again. I fell for another one of the lies. Lord, forgive me." And he picks us up and he cleans us off and he lets us go on again, building our lives on the truth. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has prepared a place for us in the Father's house. And he will not let anything get between us and his love. And that's the truth. Amen.